Welcome to this week's edition of Money Sense. I'm Brent Lauch, your host, joined by Mike Tornopolsky, Associate Portfolio Manager with PWM Private Wealth Counsel, IA Private Wealth, and also an insurance advisor with PWM Financial Services, Inc. How are you doing today, Mike?
I'm doing fantastic, Brent. How are you?
Just trying to stay warm, buddy. Just trying to stay warm. So what kind of a topic are we looking at for this week's Money Sense show here, Mike?
So our Money Sense shows focus on the importance of financial planning to provide financially secure retirement for our listeners here. We will cover some unique investments to incorporate into your financial plan, tax strategies to save a few dollars when dealing with CRA, and some insurance options that will provide security for your working life and your estate plans. The one link with a lot of those decisions is an investment or financial advisor to assist you with those decisions along the way as you progress in your career towards retirement. Selecting an investment advisor is an important decision you and your family need to make to secure your financial future. We're going to cover some of the important aspects to consider when selecting a financial advisor. In addition, we're going to cover a variety of topics to highlight whether you need to leave your current advisor. So basically, we're going to highlight the worst Canadian game show of all time. Is your advisor great or does your advisor suck?
I don't think you've got a career in being a game show host, though, Mike. However, this promises to be an exciting topic to provide our listeners so they have a guide to make sure they're selecting the right financial advisor or avoiding the wrong one. We're back in 2 minutes with more Money Sense. We're on the topic of, is your advisor meeting expectations? Brent Lauchs, along with Mike Tornopolsky, PWM Private Wealth Counsel, IA Private Wealth, talking about what you need to look for when it comes to hiring a financial advisor and what things to avoid in a financial advisor. So what do you want to start with today, Mike?
We're going to start today's show with some of the qualities to look for in a financial advisor. I've simplified these characteristics into the five E's. The five E's include the following: experience, education, ethics, expertise, and effort.
Okay, let's go with that first one, experience. Explain why that's important in a financial advisor.
So being a financial advisor, there's an immense value in having gone through an experience with a client or prospect in the past on a major financial issue. There are many examples I could give where experience is important in assisting making financial decisions. These could include any of the following: assisting in the sale of a business or family farm and the investment plan that follows that, and implementing a complex insurance plan for a client for their estate plans, working through various market sales, cycles, big gains and big losses in their career, and helping a client make a decision whether to take their monthly pension payments or take a commuted value, as well as many other financial decisions. The one thing about experience as a financial advisor that gets overlooked is that since our financial lives are so integrated with our family lives, work lives, and many other aspects of our life, a financial advisor may need to have experience working through some of those difficult aspects of our life. Mm-hmm. Some of these unfortunate events could include any of the following: a client divorce or separation from a long-term relationship, client illness, cancer, heart attack, stroke, etc., and their effects on their financial future, inheritance being paid out to kids or received after the passing of a parent, and how to discuss finances for a surviving spouse in the event of an untimely death of their spouse. These are highly emotional events that in a person's life that have a combination of financial, social, physical effects that may be felt for days, weeks, months, or years to come. When looking for an advisor, you may want to ask questions that are relevant to your circumstances about how much experience an advisor has with a divorce, death, or a major life event such as something you may be going through.
Good point. Yeah, experience is certainly not just running the numbers and can involve some very high emotion topics for an individual like you've been speaking of. So let's move on to the next one, education. That seems self-explanatory that education would be important in my financial advisor, but tell us why you say it's so important.
So like most professions, the quality of education that you will get will provide a base for your potential success in that industry. The financial advice industry has various regulators that require different levels of education in order to be able to use the terms investment advisor or financial advisor. The unfortunate difference currently in the financial advice industry as compared to other professional industries is the following. When you speak to a lawyer, you know that they have passed the bar exam, have accomplished a certain level of experience requirements. While there are specialties in the medical field, you know that there were a certain level of schooling required, residency requirements, was required for a doctor to be, whether they are an emergency physician, a general physician, or a specialized doctor or surgeon. For a financial professional, you only have a requirement to pass a couple courses to get the ability to call yourself a financial or investment advisor. This is why all other designations or certifications are the linchpin of any educational background when looking at the qualifications of your financial advisor. As an example for myself, I went to go get my Master's of Professional Accounting, my Chartered Professional Accounting designation, and then made the transition into the financial advice industry. Other advisors may have went to go get their Chartered Financial Analyst designation, or CFA, or their Certified Financial Planner designation, or CFP. There are individuals that would have spent years in school before becoming a financial advisor, and others that sold TVs at Best Buy and then made a transition to be a financial advisor at a bank or brokerage. While this may be an extreme scenario, it happens, sadly, more often than you think.
Well, that's good information for people to know. We're on the topic of, is your advisor meeting expectations? So we've covered two of your five E's here. Mike, what do you mean about ethics in the financial industry?
So ethics is a broad concept, but I believe it's best talked about with some relevant examples for our listeners. One example would be, do what I say, not what I do. I take great pride as a financial advisor that I stand behind recommendations that I make to my clients. I've recommended insurance policies and implemented a similar strategy for myself. When I recommend RSPs for clients, I would do the same in their same situation. As a financial advisor, I discuss the power of saving for your future and what that will allow a family to do today and, more importantly, as they approach retirement. The financial advice industry has many people that talk about succession planning or business transitions, and they exist sale to sale, deposit to deposit to ensure their commissions are still coming in. Important questions to ask your current advisor or potential advisor as follows. Have you implemented this same strategy for you and your family that you're recommending to me? If so, why did you or why did you not? Do you own the same investment that you're recommending to me? If not, why not? If it's good for me and not for you, why? Explain that to me as a simple couple questions there.
Those are good, powerful questions, though. So we've looked at experience, education, and ethics. Then what do you mean by expertise here, Mike?
So expertise is a unique concept in the financial advice industry. If you look at any advertisement for a financial advisor, it'll probably say something like, we serve farmers, small business owners, professionals, and retirees, etc. What I mean by this is that most financial advisors say they can serve a wide variety of families and types of clients. Where there are some financial concepts that can be covered across types of employment and types of businesses, the biggest thing about expertise is to make sure your financial advisor has the expertise in the areas of your financial life. If your advisor says he works with farmers, he should probably be able to have some discussions about how things like a farmland sale would go, how an equipment liquidation works, or have an idea on how the capital gains exemption works for qualified farm property. While your financial advisor should yield to an expert like an accountant or a lawyer when applicable and stay in their lane sometimes, you shouldn't describe yourself as an expert in a field without at least being able to ask the right questions. Ask your financial advisor how much they know about your work situation, family situation, and make sure that they have the appropriate expertise to your unique situation.
Okay, one more E to go. Let's talk about effort here, Mike.
So effort simply means hard work. While the world focuses on working smarter, not harder, and finding ways to be more efficient when you work, there is still value in the hard work of your financial advisor. At the end of the day, a financial advisor should be working hard to find new clients, maintain client relationships, assist in implementing a financial plan, and keep working hard to ensure their clients' goals are met. While, again, your financial advisor is not going to have coal dust on his hands having worked hard in the mine for that day, there are examples of where you can gauge the work effort of your financial advisor, which are as follows. Do you only hear back from your advisor's assistant when you reach out to the advisor? Does it take many days or weeks to secure an appointment with your advisor? Does it take a week to get a phone call back from your advisor? Do you get an out-of-office reply almost all the time when you email your advisor? Hard work is a unique concept in financial planning to see, but timely contact, regular meetings, information that assists you making decisions and answers to your question are at a basic level how you can see how hard your advisor is working for the fee that they are charging you to manage your portfolio.
We're on the topic of, is your advisor meeting expectations? And we've covered the five E's: experience, education, ethics, expertise, and effort in our first segment of the show. This is a simple but effective system for anyone listening to consider when selecting an advisor, as well as evaluating your current financial advisor. We're taking a break. When we're back, we'll come up with some things to consider when perhaps deciding that a change in your financial advisor may be required. You're listening to Money Sense. Welcome back. Our Money Sense show, Brent Laux, along with Mike Tornopolsky, PWM Financial Services. We're covering the basic question, is your financial advisor great or does your advisor suck? We've covered in the previous segment a solid list of questions that you should be asking and items to think about when it comes to choosing the financial advisor for you. In this section, Mike's going to cover the second part of this topic, which is it time to leave your current financial advisor? Mike?
So while the decision to select a financial advisor is important to secure the financial future of your family, there should be a constant evaluation of the advisor-client relationship and whether the advisor you currently have is right for you. I'll go through examples where you should be having direct conversations with your existing advisor in several areas.
Okay, where do you want to start with some of these key categories for our listeners, Mike?
The first one is to have a discussion about the performance of your portfolio. A financial advisor should craft a financial plan and help execute that plan for you as a pillar of their service to you. The other pillar should be the success of the investments made by the advisor in ensuring those financial goals are met. A discussion about investment performance is an ongoing discussion that occurs when investment accounts are opened, deposits and withdrawals are made, and many other times throughout the relationship. You should have the answers to your questions regarding the performance of your investments. Examples would include, how much money did I make this year, last year, or over the last 3 to 5 years? When markets go up, how much should I make relative to the stock market? When markets go down, how much should I lose relative to the stock market? We plan to make maybe X percent in the financial plan on an annual basis. Are we on target with that financial plan? Where was the portfolio successful, and where did the portfolio disappoint? These are a few kind of questions as well, and there's many others, but this is a good synopsis of things you should cover. Keep in mind the return and risk of a portfolio goes hand in hand, so understanding actual performance is one thing, but relative performance is the other. Having the appropriate expectation for volatility or potential gains or losses is important. A low-risk portfolio means your returns should be likely lower, but so should be your volatility of that portfolio. A portfolio that makes only half when the market makes money but loses the same amount as the market when it declines is not how it should behave in normal circumstances.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, an investment should make money for your clients, and if it isn't for some reason, then your advisor should be able to clearly explain why things are performing poorly. So what's the next pillar for evaluating the success of our financial advisor, Mike?
So this is the most debated issue regarding the value of a financial advisor. That item is the cost of a financial advisor, or more importantly, the fees you pay your financial advisor. While money isn't everything to evaluate a financial advisor, it should be one of the key aspects in evaluating the relationship you have with that advisor. Fees will always be a factor in the decision of dealing with any professional. Not only is it the fee you pay, but the value you get from that fee. A higher fee can still make sense if it means you're getting a higher level of service. Mm-hmm. A lower fee should have a relatively hands-off approach. Here are a variety of questions and items to consider regarding the fees you pay to your financial advisor. How much were my fees last year? How much of the fee is paid to you, and how much is paid to the brokerage firm? Are you getting value for the fees that you are paying? Are your questions being answered? Is your plan being implemented for this fee? How much is my fee relative to the performance of the portfolio? And also, do my fees decline when my investments increase with your firm? If so, when do the fees decline? While disclosure of fees to financial advisors has improved dramatically in recent years, this will always be an area that our listeners should be looking at in detail. When you pay your accounting bill each year, you get to evaluate whether your accountant did a good job or not. Why not do the same with your investment advisor on a regular basis?
Investment performance and investment fees seem like two core areas to evaluate your advisor. Any other items I should be considering here, Mike?
So there are a number of other factors to consider for whether your advisor is doing a good job. I'll shoot through a variety of items right now. Whether your financial plan is being followed or is being completed. If your financial advisor completed a plan for you but never refers to that plan, nor does he or she look to it for guidance in your relationship, this is a big problem. In addition, a financial plan should be a living, breathing document. If you've had a major life event occur, examples include a job loss, a big promotion, a change in marital status. Your financial plan should be updated to reflect these new developments in your life. No alignment of interests. is another one. Depending on the fee structure of your advisor, there may be a very small correlation between how your investments do and how much your investment advisor makes on selling you that particular investment. Significant upfront commissions are always a significant red flag. Where there is this type of arrangement, the advisor should be very forthcoming with that information about how they are getting paid and how it works with regards to the investment or the insurance policy that you may be purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
What is he or she doing with their staff? One other small indication to evaluate your advisor is whether you always deal with a different receptionist, assistant, planner at your advisor's office. The people that an advisor surrounds themselves with are almost as important as the advisor themselves in having a good relationship with your financial future. If these people change every 3 to 6 months for your advisor, this might be an indication of the strength of the office where your advisor works and whether you should be considering a change in the future.
Good points. We're on the topic of your financial advisor. Is that person meeting your expectations? Or, as Mike Tornopolsky has laid out today, maybe you're just looking for a financial advisor for the first time. Things, important information you should be considering and asking in that process. We've covered a variety of topics on financial advisor evaluations today, both at the time when you're picking an advisor, as well as throughout that relationship. Mike, any final thoughts before we bring a show to an end this week?
Absolutely. So finding a financial advisor is an important decision for you and your family. This professional will be a key pillar to your success in your work life as well as your retirement life. No different than making sure you've hired the right accountant, lawyer, doctor, dentist, etc., these professionals should work to improve your day-to-day lives. At PWM Private Wealth, my colleagues and I will work hard to ensure your financial lives are put in order today, tomorrow, and in the years to come. We will help you make the difficult financial decisions and answer the difficult questions regarding your financial life. You can always reach us at 306-975-9500 or toll-free at 1-800-652-7472 or visit the website at pwmprivatewealth.com to book an appointment with myself to discuss your financial future in more detail.
Someone listening wants to find out more. They'd like a meeting. What's involved, Mike?
So there is definitely no charge for that initial consultation. What we do is our process is we have an individual bring as much financial information that they are able to acquire. This would include tax returns, investment statements, insurance policy information, maybe financial statements if they are a business owner of some sort, to get a better idea as to what kind of income and what kind of cash flow they may have to come up with some ideas for an investment plan. We would take some of those information away from that initial consultation and see whether a comprehensive financial plan makes sense for that prospect and their family. And then that's when a follow-up meeting would be arranged if there is where it does make sense to go through with that financial plan for that individual at that time. So the more information, the better is the key in those initial meetings with your financial advisor.
You want to get the ball rolling with Mike and the staff at PWM? Call them today, 306-975-9500. Thanks for your time, Mike.
Thanks a lot, Brent. Have a great day.
This is Money Sense. Money Sense was prepared by Kevin Hegedus and Kevin Hawkinson, portfolio managers for IA Private Wealth. This is not an official program of IA Private Wealth, and the opinions expressed during this show are those of the portfolio managers only and do not necessarily reflect those of IA Private Wealth. IA Private Wealth, Inc. is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and the Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. IA Private Wealth is a trademark and business name under which IA Private Wealth, Inc. operates. This show is intended for general information only. Please obtain independent professional advice in the context of your own particular circumstances. Insurance products and services are offered through PWM Financial Services, Inc., an independent and separate company from IA Private Wealth, Inc. Only products and services offered through IA Private Wealth, Inc. are covered by the Canadian Investor Protection Fund. IA Private Wealth does not provide any income tax preparation service and does not supervise or review any income tax returns. You've been listening to Money Sense.